Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 28, 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, February 12, 2019. Question: there are situations in which a tsunami of emotions and feelings overwhelms you, and you sit and don't understand what is going on with you. You certainly understand that everything is coming from the Creator. What should one do in situations like these? Should I continue to sit, go out, or try to extinguish this within me? Or should I simply surrender to the emotions and go with the flow? Answer: I cannot say what to do, you must choose. But each time you try to act so, you will be in maximum connection to the Creator as the source on which your current situation depends. Question: do I or we in a 10 have some kind of influence on the process of ascents and descents in other tens or groups? Answer: we are all in a single system, and therefore, to some degree, you naturally influence everyone. If one real 10 will emerge in our world group that will constantly work with the Creator, then we will all feel it. I hope that this will be soon. Question: is there a difference between a thought, a prayer, and physically coming to a convention and supporting a friend? Or are both necessary? Answer: I cannot say, because each circumstance needs to be considered individually, but in every case it is advisable to take advantage of all the possibilities. Question: is a 10 a state of readiness to approach each other? Answer: a 10 is a skeleton, a framework of everything that the Creator created. Question: how can you work with thoughts in which you want to do something bad to someone and you cannot get rid of them, even if you understand that they are from the Creator? Answer: what this means is that you don't understand that this is intentionally coming from the Creator precisely so that you will be connected with Him and you will determine that there is none else beside Him, Deuteronomy 4:35, and that the Creator cannot give you bad thoughts like these about others. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, February 12, 2019. New Life Number 1154. Experiences in Life.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the experiences that we experience in life. We'd like to understand, how do these experiences shape us, influence us, where are they kept, how can we work with them? It's going to be really interesting. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, so I'd like to open with my experience as a mother. When my children were young, I used to run around with them from place to place so they can experience as much as possible. I took them to museums, to different sites, to the sea, to everywhere. My goal was to expose them to a rich variety of all kinds of experiences in order to enrich them as human beings and give them a better starting point. And de facto, today I asked them, they remember nothing. They simply don't remember anything. And it brought up many questions. What kind of experiences should you expose a child to in order to help him develop in the best possible way? First of all, it says, educate a child in his own way. So maybe you drag them to different places and they really suffered, poor guys, because mom has a thing for museums and she really runs from place to place. Maybe they thought that you're the one that needs the museums and the sea and everything. And it's not that they necessarily saw it as something educational on your part. So their life experiences from back then, of course, they experienced it all and it registered every action leaves an imprint, leaves an impression. But maybe it wasn't according to their desire, but because mom made them. And so they agreed because they had no choice, and therefore it didn't leave such an impression like a person that dreams about some place that he's going to travel to in a month and see and do something there. I remember I was about 9, and my parents told me that now we're going to ride in a train from the north of Russia to the Black Sea. And there we will get on a ship, and we'll sail for 3 days from Odessa to Sochi and the Black Sea, from one side to the other side of the Black Sea. And I remember that a month before that, after I was told that we're going, I was already inspired. I didn't care about what's going on around me, about anything. To play with other kids, to run around, do different things, I didn't care. Soon I'm going to travel so far, 2 days by train, and then sail for 3 days. So it's about the desire, the deficiency for something. So back then I had a strong desire for it, and I remember the taste of that experience to this day. You understand how many years went by? 65 years, suppose. And I remember it. Is it important to expose children to a variety of experiences at young ages, even from the ages of 2 or 3? No, at the ages of 2 or 3, they don't understand anything. They're cleaved on to their mom. We see that many times. A mom's walking around and the baby is in a baby carriage or in a sling. And this is how she walks around. A child feels his mother next to him, maybe sees her from his carriage, maybe even feels her scent when he's small and in her arms. And he doesn't have anything from the outside. He doesn't identify anything from the outside. The main thing is that he's clinged on to his mother. By the way, a mother that takes a young child with her, or even bigger children, she doesn't really experience these things because she's thinking about her children or about her child all the time. So at what age should you start exposing children to experiences? When you participate in these experiences together, when the mom understands that before these experiences, it's necessary to build a desire, a need for it, to read about it, to talk, to prepare themselves, to maybe watch some movie, read a book, some brochure about the place that you're traveling to, or if it's museums, and all the more. And only then to do these things. Meaning what you need is a deficiency for it. What do you mean by deficiency? That in advance I'll feel a need, a lack for that experience that we're about to experience. What ages are we talking about, more or less? I can't exactly say. I really wanted to go to the planetarium. And I went there, but it was less than the experience that I was expecting, and different such things. Or once I went to New York for an entire month, and during this month I visited all the museums. As an adult or as a child? As an adult. And it was really, an experience. All the museums, from beginning to end. You left no museum in New York unvisited, because I wanted to get to know the American culture, and where else can you do it? Mankind collects it in museums. Are there certain experiences that it's important to give children? Of course. Which? I don't know, it depends on what can a person do. Today with the internet you can do a lot. If the children want to do it and so on. As a child, my father used to take me to see different movies about musicians, composers, scholars. There are different movies about special people in human history, and I remember that to this day. The question is, was it something that personally suited you, or should we expose every child? What should we expose a child to? Well, if we're talking about education, about the structure of society, then of course the school has to do it. Should we, for example, take children out into nature? This is something that I did a lot. Is it important? Yeah, but it depends where and how and what. You have to see, it has to be various. From you, I understand that every child has an inclination towards different things, and then you should give them different experiences. So the question is, what is the purpose of these experiences? What are they supposed to build in a child? The form of the world. Form of the world. You have to take them to museums, to factories, to the zoo, to the botanic gardens, everywhere. And to show them the world that we live in. To take them to the forest. Everything. Children have to get an impression from everything. But first of all, you have to prepare the child for these experiences, that he'll be impressed, inspired by these experiences, and then he has to write about it, like a short report, what did he see, what did he experience, and he fills this page, even like a questionnaire, not that he writes what he feels like. What did you see in a certain area? I saw a nice cat. What's the purpose of this questionnaire? In order to teach a child how to look at each and every phenomenon that he experiences, that later he'll be in some place in life, he'll meet some people, he'll do something, we teach him how to relate to things, how to be impressed with them, how to inquire them. So we have to show him the variety of our world and to teach him how to study these things more deeply. Yeah, not to rely on nature. It's not a cat or a dog that naturally know what do they need from nature. Okay, now I want to ask about social experiences. Are there such that we should expose a child to? Or should we, you know, let things flow as they are? I would take children to anything that is related to our life, including hospitals, prisons, and so on and so forth. You're already talking about more mature ages, elementary school and so on. Yeah. Today it's very common to take children from a very young age to the movies, to the theater, many things. My older daughter, this is what everyone did, so I did it too, but at a certain point I felt that it's too much, that it doesn't suit where she is. What do you think about this kind of exposure, that this is what's common today, where we try to expose ourselves to as many experiences as possible? Look, I don't want to talk about our Ministry of Education that, in my eyes, doesn't educate at all, so better let's. I'm talking about children at the ages of 3, 4, or 5. No, that's completely redundant. At the ages of 3, 4, 5, they have to grow up around the house, next to their moms, grandmothers. They have to experience different things with their cats, their dogs, domestic pets. They have to know how to maybe bake cakes, do different things. Boys should maybe build something, break something, but not abstract experiences. Is there a difference between the intensity to which a person experiences something in his memory? No. If we prepare children for a certain experience, then it leaves an impression. A child perceives it naturally, grasps it naturally. Afterwards, we can do some homework where they write about their impressions. How was it? What? How? It's preferable that they will write this by themselves, without the interference of their parents, without looking at each other. And then later we start learning how to help a child complete his picture about positive and negative experiences. What's more important to have in life, positive or negative experiences? What builds me more? Both. There can't be one without the other. It's more or less equal. The smaller the children, then of course, these should be good, positive, nice experiences, sweet. And the more they go and grow, it should become more various. And then to start exposing them to, okay, what is the role of negative experiences in our life? To build a negative attitude toward negative experiences in life, bad experiences in life, and what do we have to do in order not to experience them, not to repeat the same mistakes that mankind stepped into? And in general, what is the role of the negative experiences in life among grown-ups too? What are we supposed to do with them? To keep ourselves from stepping in there. Is there a certain ratio between the positive and negative experiences that a person needs to experience in order to develop properly? Quantitatively, is there a certain ratio in order to allow a person to correctly develop? These are things that you have to see in practice. Sometimes a person gets a strong blow, some kind of a negative experience that paralyzes him. It could be something terrible that happens to him with other people, it could be close people, something that really shakes a person up. When you look at it from the side, you say, poor guy, life is a series of experiences and we have to learn from everything. But sometimes it seems that a person gets such a blow in life, the experience is so negative that it simply finishes him off because he wasn't prepared for it. He was kept, protected, he wasn't allowed to see negative experiences, he wasn't given the ability to overcome them, to learn how to keep himself from them, not to be included of them, integrate with them, but to learn how to correctly respond in a balanced way. And this is a general educational problem. It's not the problem of an ordinary person. I remember that when I came to the university, they took us to see a surgery as students because I studied medical, biological, cybernetics, meaning it was about medical devices. Afterwards, we were taken to the morgue. In Russia, it's hundreds of bodies spread out on tables and so on. And it was a very serious and unpleasant experience, and there were those among us that they couldn't take it. We're talking about strong as if macho men. Suddenly, and so on. There are such experiences that's how it is. And it's not for everyone. Take a person to a slaughterhouse. Many times it can really shake a person up. Yeah, after that maybe he won't be able to eat meat. Okay, you talked about when a person goes to watch something. I want to ask from a different angle. Sometimes experiences simply happen to us in life. For example, there is some kind of tragedy, or a child, God forbid, grew up in a family where he was abused, and this experience of abuse was imprinted in him and made him who he is as a grown-up person. I understand that it's not random and that he had to experience this, grow up in this family, and experience what he experienced. Now, as a grown-up person, there is something that really shaped his entire life. What can he do now? For this, you need special treatment. You need special treatment. He has to be worked with and correctly guided in a way that he will be able to live without bringing back those experiences time and time again, continuing to experience them. Is there a way to uproot a certain impression from a bad experience from a person? No, it's impossible. It's possible to somehow cover the negative experiences. Usually, it's through society. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, are there solutions for these states? Can we find solutions in the wisdom of Kabbalah to soothe the soul? No. It's only to elevate a person to a higher degree. Where there's no connection to the corporeal experiences. There he starts understanding why did these experiences happen, what is their source, how to relate to them from above down, and then he doesn't contribute any importance to these experiences. Meaning he changes the way he looks at things, at life, completely. Life, death, everything that happens throughout life, all of it for him is like a grain of sand. On a different topic, people, especially in our times, are looking for, you know, strong experiences, even in an artificial way. Why are people in search of such intense experiences? We're living in times where our desire is increased, where it's very egoistic. We're full of different experiences and impressions from life. Also, we're exposed to theater, cinema, internet, everything. We're full of different pictures, images. The entire history of mankind is spread before us. What's beyond space, what's beyond life, what's behind the corner, you name it. So what follows is, what do I fill myself with? How else can I somehow stimulate myself a bit, excite myself, so that I'll have a bit, ooh, ah, something, nothing. So much so that I'd say that look at the movies they make, horror movies. It's terrible. No, there are people that less than that, it doesn't touch them. It's like I add some salt to some dish, and Oren, he has to add a handful of hot peppers. And that's how it is. So, it's a problem in our generation. We are deaf to ordinary experiences.
Yeah.
I watch a movie where a nuclear bomb explodes and 100, 200,000, a million, a billion people die. And so what? The percentage of what they want to show us as experiences that are as if a part of life in the movies or something, these are things that an ordinary person wouldn't imagine or depict to himself. But nothing impresses us, so I understand those that want to sell these things and make money off it. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, are there experiences? There are different experiences. What kind? First of all, these are personal experiences that only the person himself experiences, as it says that these are things that your eyes shall witness and no one else. Meaning a person who attains these things. Attains what? Attains the upper world. Something that no one else can attain, but only he can. And in his special way. This is one thing. Another thing is that he controls it. He controls how to attain the upper world. What is the upper world? Upper means upper. I don't understand. It is an experience that you have to attain and then see what it is. But it's a special, unique experience. Yes. And then he as if lives an eternal, whole, and complete life. And he doesn't need any thrillers or horror movies. And the life that he experiences fulfills him and arranges everything for him. What's so interesting there? It's the truth. Truth. And this truth gives him a sense of vitality. Not a sense of vitality, a sense of everything. Does he lack something? Does he look for something in this state? If it's everything, then what can be missing? Previously, you said that a person can rise to a level where he sees where do all of his experiences in life come from, and then he looks at this entire thing called life from a different perspective, where he doesn't attribute that much importance to the experiences that come his way in life, but what is important in his eyes then? Only the true and real world. He's not impressed with our world, which we build out of different unreal experiences, where we're impressed by different nonsense that's inflated by different imaginations and delusions and so on. But when we open and attain the upper world, then there it's not like mom takes us to the park or to the sea or to some place, but there our soul is actually our guide in the spiritual life. And it opens the upper world for us, and then we experience a whole and complete upper life. And what kind of journeys do you have? Limitless. What do you mean? You're unlimited, above any limitations. In every direction, and everything. The experiences there are positive or negative. Both. And by completing each other, you attain wholeness, completion, and perfection. Last question. Is there some ultimate experience that we all aspire for? Yes. to reveal the Creator, the upper force, which is the source of all of reality, which is the source of our experiences, our fate. We want to reveal Him, and by feeling Him, we finally reach the source of life. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.